This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Philip Schoeman is in the house already. Today we're talking about getting rejected by banks and how painful it is, whether there are ways we can actually circumvent this. So he's here. He's got all the answers, apparently.
Apparently he does. And you were saying earlier on, Mr. Jones, that no one likes rejection, of course. And can you imagine when it comes from your bank and they're rejecting you and you're trying to buy a property, they're telling you all sorts of things, your credit score, this and that, that and this. And we're wondering today whether it's at all possible for you to push through that rejection and still be able to buy a property somehow. Do you have options even? Are there even options for you to do that? Well, we have the broker and owner of Remax, Philip Schoeman, is in the building and he'll tell us all about that. Morning, Philip. Are you good?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Now, does being rejected by the bank now mean that it's the end of the road for my dream of buying a property?
Definitely not. Remember, the banks want to rehabilitate you. If you are not qualifying, you've got a bad credit risk profile, it's in the bank's interest to rehabilitate you, because then they get another customer.
I hear you. So
I think first let's look at some trends. Out of the 65 million South Africans we have, about 36% of them there's actually 28 million credit worthy active credit users, and 36% of them are over indebted. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 22%. I just want to get my stats here. 22% are 3 months or more in arrears. 11% have an adverse listing or payment defaults, and 3% have judgments or administrative issues.
Sure.
This can be attributed to broader macroeconomic trends and high cost of living. Other reckless lending as well is a problem. And adverse life events. But I also think one thing that we always lose out of consideration is bad financial discipline. I actually personally feel that the schools should be teaching financial discipline from standard 8 onwards. I mean, because now you sort
even
of
even earlier, if
someone.
It's possible, just those basic principles, foundational elements of finances. I think 100%. You're onto something, Philip.
100%. So, we'll get to write the school curriculum soon. Okay, but for the purposes of this topic, let's look at the criteria that the banks assess. They use credit score, which is a 3-digit number, which is basically a snapshot of how you've been treating your finances. And obviously, they'll go into a bit of detail to see why and what you've paid late and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, let me just get this again.
Why are you getting that, Philip? Yeah. Maybe to also get an understanding of, you said it is possible for us to consider other options if the bank rejects us. But what other options do we have outside the bank?
Okay, so there's a couple. All right, so firstly, installment sale agreements or rent-to-own agreements, which is almost the same kind of the same thing. Then private lenders or alternative financial institutions, but they will usually just charge you more interest. It's not going to be as lucrative as a bank loan. So, and then government-backed subsidies, we've spoken about that.
Yes.
And one that is almost never used or spoken about is the Kistingsbrief.
A what?
Kistingsbrief.
Kistingsbrief. What is that?
It's Afrikaans. I don't even know if we have an English version of that.
Okay.
But what it is in essence is, now you want to buy a house from your grandmother or a friend. Mm. Okay. This friend is financially lucrative and sound, but you are not. He still wants to sell you the house. You want to buy the house. Then he can, if the house is paid off and there's no current bond by a bank, he can register a personal bond on that property, which means he basically acts as the bank. Okay? So you then pay him back at an interest. The problem is, if you charge an interest, you have to, as the supplier of this Kistingsbrief, you have to register at the National Credit Act as a credit provider.
Before you actually facilitate the process of, as someone who wants to sell the house.
Yeah. You could do this and just charge a fee or just overcharge the client. Then you're not a credit provider. then basically you just register this customs brief. And if the client then defaults, you have the same rights as the bank to then take this this house back. You are the first in line when this client is liquidated.
Is it different from, I'm trying to understand exactly, like, who is sort of like facilitating this? Is it me going to a lawyer, getting them to draft a contract, and then you pay me? Like, I get a debit order or whatever.
Yes. Let's say you could secure a deal, and now you're not getting a bank loan, and you're running around thinking, I've got this problem. But you know somebody who has money. That person can then kind of buy the house and register a bond against it at the same time as transfer happens. So instead of owing the bank money for this house, you owe this person money for it.
So that also offers you a platform to negotiate, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but obviously it needs to be in the benefit of this person who has money.
Yeah.
Because
it's business.
It's business. Now it's business. It's a business transaction. You're going to have to probably pay him a bit more. What you can do then later is, as soon as you have rehabilitated yourself and you fix your financial credit profile and you can now get finance from a bank, you can then apply for a loan to buy the property from yourself to cancel the bond. See what I'm saying? So you're just cancelling that bond and registering a new bond from the bank. That is possible.
All right.
If you have a short-term problem.
Okay. Before we let you go, Philip, does that involve lawyers as well? The deregistering and the...
You'll definitely need an agent for this help you navigate, and also an attorney. Same process as buying a house, just a bit different.
Okay. Just to make sure I understand you, Philip, when you started, when you're giving us the options, you said something about installment / whatnot. Just to make sure we might have talked about this in the past, but just refresh our memory, what exactly that is.
So an installment sale agreement versus a rent to own agreement. Personally, I don't like the rent to own agreement. But the installment sale agreement is quite lucrative, sold many houses that way. This involves you paying large sums over the space of 6 months to a year. Not too long, otherwise you're just the same as a bank. So, but this is heavy on your cash flow. On the rent to own option is where you would move in, rent, and then buy the house at a later specified time after you fix your credit profile.
Yes.
The problem with this is that you also need to put down a non-refundable option fee.
Okay, as a deposit or something?
As a deposit, but we don't call it a deposit. We have to call it an option fee that is non-refundable, because in essence, the seller is now giving you or extending the rights for him to take it off the market and for you to now be the only purchaser in this agreement. Therefore, we need to give him guarantees that you're not going to pull out after a year and say, I'm not interested in this house anymore and whatnot. And then the seller is left destitute. Now he needs to put it back on the market, et cetera, et cetera. The other negative effect is if your installment sale agreement is too long, let's say I've secured the house at 1.5 million and it was the market value, but now my installment sale agreement or my rent to own agreement is over 5 years. By 5 years' time, this house is worth 2 bar. Okay. And now you've just stuck me in this transaction as a seller for 5 years. Now you are benefiting off the equity that's built up. You see, so that's the problem with long-term agreements like that. Whereas when you buy from the bank, you secure it at the current price and it's now yours because you're paying them back. That's one of the reasons I dislike doing that with sellers.
Okay, no, I get it. 100%. Thank you for that clarity, Philip. And thank you also for coming through and helping us gain a better understanding of where to go and how to approach it if we are rejected by the banks. That's broker and owner of Remax. Any questions you have, any comments you have, we are able to tackle them in the future. We are on 079-899-6226. Just # property speaking, and I'm sure Philip Schumann will be able to assist us with that. Thank you. That's broker and owner of Remax, Philip Schumann.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.